Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 98, if you're listening by radio. Tonight I have a good friend of mine that's been on the program a number of times. David, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
This is going to be a fun program, and looking forward to the topic we're going to bring up in just a moment. I just want to mention also that we have a lot of activities going on. We ordered quite a few chick tracks here recently, and they are being distributed by the thousands right now. And so we're excited. We have an event possibly coming up around the first part of April involving about 40 different churches in Panama City, and to motivate the men to get involved in ministry. And I just met with the president, or the leader of the men's ministry across Panama, and we're going to put a large evangelistic four-night event and four-day event. We're looking to distribute about 35 to 40,000 tracks during that time period, too. So it's going to be great. And so appreciate all the gifts that were given through Strength for the Journey. I can see another order of tracks are going to be needed in the not too distant future. So we appreciate your gifts that that you've given to Strength for the Journey. And again, if you would like to continue to give, we're going to probably put another order together here in the not too distant future. So with that, I want to just kind of briefly go into our topic tonight. The topic is going to be, what are you doing with what God's given you? And I feel like the Lord recently has prompted me in the last 6 months to begin to get busy with what I have. And he mentioned a word to me here about 5 months ago. And he said, you save for the future. And he said, the future is now. And then I was at church just shortly thereafter. There was a woman giving a prophetic word. And she said, she was looking in the horizon because it was an outdoor church service. And she says, I see the clouds are coming, and it's going to rain. It's going to begin to rain. And at that moment, I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, it's time to get your seed in the ground. And I realized what he was telling me personally is that there's things that I have that are sitting dormant. And this may apply to a gifting, or it may be applied to finances. It may... And that's what it spoke to me, is things that I had saved for in the future, quote, a rainy day sort of thing. They were just dormant seeds in a package. And I began to think about Y2K, and that I had ordered, you know, boxes of heirloom seeds. And when I left to come to Panama, I found the box. It was a very large box and just filled with seeds that were never used. And I thought about how much harvest was never reaped because the seeds were never planted. And so I began to think about food in the future, and how the need will be for food, and many people, of course, grow food here. And you had a neighbor that had that builds greenhouses, and brought him over to the house, and we figured up a greenhouse. I wasn't thinking of a very big one, and it turned out to be quite big. But he built a greenhouse, and I'm looking in this giant greenhouse, 3,000 square feet. I'm thinking, what in the world, how am I going to fill this thing up? So I began to talk to other growers here, hydroponics and so forth, and put a kind of a plan together. And the thing that I've learned as I've been planning for the last 4 months or so and growing is that you don't get a harvest until your seed gets in the ground. And your harvest is limited by the amount of seeds that you put in the ground. So I put seeds everywhere I can, and growing everything I can. And I think about maybe a week later after I plant a seed in the ground, and I see this small plant coming up, and immediately as soon as it comes up, I'm putting it in its place in the soil, because I know as soon as it gets in the soil, those roots just begin to look for nutrients and water. And as long as they're all bound up in a little container, they're just limited in their ability to grow. And one thing I've seen is that how quickly I have pictures of different plants I was in, just put in the ground 30 days ago, and they're already 3 feet tall and squashes ready to get picked off of them. It's amazing how quick they can grow in an environment like that. But all to say is that much of our lives, you know, the Lord's, when it's all said and done, he's going to look at our lives and what kind of fruit that we produced. He said that whoever does not produce good fruit is be cut down and cast into the fire. So he's going to be a fruit checker when the day comes. What do we do with our life? And I'm only using this as an analogy that many of us have been sitting there doing nothing with what we've been given. And the thing the Lord prompted me, that really quickened me, it was probably about a year, during the last year before we left to come here. So it's been about 4 years ago. But I was watching a popular news program that many people watch. And I was just there watching it. And the Lord just said to me, he said, do you want to watch the news or do you want to make the news? And what I realized is that much of us, our lives are just being idle, doing nothing. We're being entertained literally to death. And the question is, are we going to get busy and do what God's called us to do, or are we going to sit there and sit in the stands all of our life and watch the world go by? And I think that's why the body of Christ needs to wake up and get on the playing field, because there's souls to be reaped and lives to be touched, and we're sitting in the grandstand watching life go by. And it's such, so many lives are being wasted right now, and it's time to get busy. And I know you got some things on your mind, David, you want to share, but I just want to encourage people out there that it's time to turn the TV off, time to get about whatever God's called you to do, whatever interest, whatever ideas he's put in your mind, ministry or serving or just whatever. It's time to get busy, and we've got to get, I mean, I think now of growing food, I mean, my day ends earlier than it used to because I'm exhausted, because my body wakes up when the sun comes up, because the gardener gets there at 7 and I need to be down there in the greenhouse when he gets there. And I just, it's like my day is so full of fruitful things now in my life because I'm willing to go to work and plant what the Lord's given me.
Well, I remember walking on that same plot of ground over a year ago, and where your greenhouse now sits, and I suppose there was a few stray sprigs of grass growing up here and there, and maybe, you know, I remember there was a stray horse that used to, from the neighbor's property, that used to wander the backyard, and I guess maybe that was of some benefit to him. But a couple days ago, I was over there, and you were showing me what was new in the greenhouse, and you plucked a few heads of lettuce, and my family is eating that now. And I think the Lord, even though he values horses, he values we human beings, his children, even more. And you know, that conversion of that space from growing grass that was eaten by a stray horse to feeding people now is something that is of great value. I mean, there's increase in that. And I remember being in the office the day that you were on the phone ordering all those seeds, and it was an impressive box of seeds that came in, but until they were popped into the ground, they had a ton of potential, for sure. But they wouldn't benefit anyone. So, you know, I think that is all of us have areas in our lives where the Lord has gifted us or blessed us, and for sure we're not talking about just willy-nilly, you know, squandering those things, but. You know, I know today when you were talking about saving for a rainy day, we were sitting in the office and having a discussion about this topic, and I just kind of pictured in my mind a picture of a funeral, you know, all the black umbrellas and black overcoats of the mourners as they lower a casket into the ground and seeing this downpour. And I don't know where that came from. It's probably, like you said, a movie scene that we witnessed sometime in the past. But I can see inscribed on that guy's headstone, "He saved for a rainy day." Well, so, you know, our rainy days come sometimes, but if we have not, again, placed that seed in the ground, it will not bear any fruit.
Wow, that's such a powerful picture that many people have saved for that rainy day, and they never even used what they were given. And that rainy day comes, and that rainy day is their funeral, and somebody else is now reaping what they saved. Now somebody else, it's passed on to somebody else to use. It's like an unused talent that was never exercised, never brought fruit in their life. You know, and I think the sad thing about that rainy day is that what they're saving for is their insecurity. They don't, that money that they saved was their security instead of the Lord. And so they lived and died being insecure, never becoming secure by their obedience to what God had called them to do with their life. I mean, I know many people coming here right now to Panama. There's a lot of insecurity. Maybe a lot of people don't have a lot of money. Maybe have a maybe not a lot, but yet they're following the Lord's will. I mean, as you are a perfect picture of that, six children, you know, with it. You didn't come with a lot of money, but you came willing to do whatever God told you to do. And that's the key right now, is that God is not looking for a big bank account. He's looking for a big heart that's willing to obey him in whatever he says to do and wherever he says to go. And now is the time. I mean, this is, the rain's coming. It's time to get your seed in the ground. You know, it's time to obey whatever he says.
Well, and you know, regardless of how many zeros are behind the numbers in our net worth, you know, 8 decades ago during the great stock market crash, there were people whose net worth, you know, plummeted from $30 million to $6 million, and it caused them to jump out of a window, even though they had $6 million, which would be worth who knows how much now, you know, and you're still a millionaire living in the 30s. You know, why? This is not a problem. But, you know, it shows that, you know, whether we're down to our last 8 cents or whether we're down to our last 8 million, you know, many times that vehement testing will show us where our heart is. And, it, you know, it reminds me about Luke 12. And, you know, starting in verse 13, it says, and this is speaking, of course, of Jesus, it says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he, Jesus, said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? His rainy day came. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
And he's waiting for people to receive. He's just looking for somebody to say, I want what you have, Lord. You know, the whole key for many people is whether or not they're hearers only or whether they're going to do what the Lord says. It says in James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, there's a deception that comes in our life when we don't do what God said. I've said many times before that I began to learn to hear and recognize God's voice by me acting upon what he had told me, what I felt like he'd said to me. It was only by my doing what he told me to do that it confirmed that it was God's voice that spoke to me, because of the benefit that I received as my obedience of doing what he said. And if I had not done what he said, I don't think I ever would have learned to identify his voice. I would have been many times deceived about who he was, or I wouldn't know. And I think it's time now that if God speaks to people and speaks to their heart, they have to obey, because there's a blindness that is coming over people right now, and I've been watching it. People that have been called even to come here, God has spoken to their heart to do something, and then Satan's come along like the sower of the seed. Said that Satan comes immediately to steal the word out of their heart so they should believe, and then believe implies obedience and be saved. And what I've seen is that it's like a cloud begins to swirl around them, and they begin to question, hath God said? Did God really tell me to do this, or whatever? Maybe the storms were raging and they wondered if, you know, God even said this, and then confusion comes, and then deception comes. And that's why, if, you know, David said, my word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, we have to understand that when God speaks to us, we have to hide that thing, because there is a thief out there. He wants to steal what's valuable. And that word that God gives us is valuable to us, or it should be valuable to us. And if it's not valuable, we won't hide it. We'll just place it. I mean, there's a reason why God said in his word, I've hid it in my heart. You know, David said that. So you have to hide it. You have to realize how valuable it is, and that there is a thief out there that wants to steal it. And the only way that I know that I've hidden what God's spoken to me is by doing what he said. Because something happens. It's really interesting. Was when you begin to do what God tells you to do, there's an opening of your eyes, because you begin to understand why God told you what you said. And it's something amazing that kind of happens. And I think there's a level of trust, too, that God begins to see that you value his words to you. So he begins to unfold more things to you. He begins to open your eyes more than he did before, because you're putting value on what he spoke to you, and you're doing it out of obedience. And so it begins to compound a revelatory life. You begin to understand more, and in God's eyes, you know, begins to open your eyes more. That's just my own personal experience speaking, but I believe it lines up with the word too, that there is an understanding. It says that when he talks about parables, the disciples ask him, why do you speak in parables? Well, it's so that those that see, you know, think they see may not see, and those that think they hear may not hear. And so there's a humility that has to go with what God speaks to us. And humility comes in a place of servitude, and that you're willing to be obedient to whatever God says. You know, it says man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from his mouth. It's whatever he says. Every word. It's not, well, I like what you just said about for me to do this, but I don't like this other thing. I don't really want to die. Like Peter, you know, the words that he was given was his death sentence, you know, in John chapter 21. Those weren't pleasant words, but he received it, and he was a fearless man from that day on, because he was just going to walk it out until the day he died. He knew he was right with the Lord. And I'll tell you something else, too, is that there's a confidence that comes inside of you, not a prideful confidence, but a boldness of trust that takes place as you begin to do what God tells you to do. It's like there's a level of strength that comes from your obedience, even in the little things. You know, we were talking about the talents, that there was one man that was given only one talent. He didn't have a whole lot to lose. All he had to do was just use that one little talent. I mean, it wasn't like the guy that got five. He was much was required. I mean, this guy was just a one-talent guy, you know. Wasn't a whole lot to put into play.
There was nowhere to go but up.
That's right. Couldn't lose much. But he buried it in the sand. And I thought it was really interesting. He buried it in the earth. And I thought it was really interesting is that he said, I knew you are a hard man that reaps where you sow not. hard and austere man. Wait a minute. He didn't seem to be that way with the other guys that were given more talents. He said, well done, a good and faithful servant, you know. You know, you've been given, you know, five, you know, you'll be going to be rewarded accordingly. So he wasn't a hardened ourselves. He was so prideful, I thought. I knew. You know, he should have said, I thought, you know, I was wrong. Because he wasn't. And this is, I think, the hardness of our own heart is demonstrated many times because we think something it's not, and we won't even admit we're wrong when we are.
Well, I tell you, it's a pretty basic principle. We know that as long as the earth remains, we will have seed time and harvest. And part of the principle of seed time and harvest is that unless a kernel of wheat fall to the ground and die, it will not bear much fruit. And we've all been guilty of hanging on to that seed, thinking that that's where our security, that's where our safety is. And instead of releasing that and realizing that it could bear much fruit. And, you know, I think that if anything, right now, what's on our hearts is a call to action, you know, wanting to encourage or even provoke our brothers and sisters. You know, so many of your listeners I know they're all over the world, but so many are in the United States. And we have been deceived by, you know, the deceitfulness of wealth, of riches. And if we would let that go, if we would say, if we would ask ourselves, why has the Lord given us what he has given us, whatever that is, we're not only talking about Federal Reserve notes. We're not just talking about currency. You know, it may be a talent. It may be our time. It may be a passion that he's given us for certain people. You know, we need, like you said earlier, like James said, to not simply be hearers of the word, but doers. That's where our reward will lie, through our obedience.
That's right. You know, the biggest key, there's so many areas that people have been deceived. You know, they haven't done what God has told them to do. That is in James very clear, that deceiving ourselves, that we're only a hearer, we're not a doer. But also the deceitfulness of riches, you just mentioned that a minute ago. You know, the deceitfulness of riches is that it provides security. And I remember a time when I was looking to buy a motorhome, and someone was going to actually help me purchase this motorhome. And this was back in 1999. We were going to sell our house and know where we were going to live, and this is going to be our home. And I was put a deposit on this one particular motorhome, maybe $300, and it was over a long Memorial Day weekend. And I was, during that Saturday, I was out hoeing weeds in my garden, and as out there hoeing weeds, I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said very clearly, he said, that motorhome is not for you. And I just kind of talked back to him, kind of a dumb thing to do. And I said, but Lord, it's a gift. And you know what he said back to me? He said something I'll never forget. He said, that's why it's so hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. He can afford to be disobedient. And the problem is, much time our extra affords our disobedience, because we can afford to be disobedient. We can afford a loss when we have lots of extra. And we have to realize that our stuff cannot be our security. I mean, I even look back with all the Y2K stock I had. I mean, warehouse full of food, and you know, you have all this stuff, and you're thinking, you know, you're preparing for the unknown. You have no clue what it's going to look like. You don't know whether guys are going to come with guns, steal everything you got. I mean, you don't know. You just think you're trying to provide some level of security by what you have. But I learned through this whole process that I've been through, from the Y2K storage, you know, being prepared for the worst, that the only place of security any of us has is in our obedience to God. It's hearing what he says to us, for us to do, and doing it. That's the only place of security any of us have. It's clear to me when I realized that if you're not, he told me very clearly, said, you have to be where I tell you to be, and you have to be there when I tell you to be there. And I saw literally in my mind, I saw two fingers crossing, and they formed an X. And he said, your obedience is where your treasure is, just as an X is on the treasure map. So I realized that it all is all about obedience. It's not about what you got, how much stuff you got stored. Because if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, it'll be like putting a sprinkler system in your house in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, it'll never supersede and overcome whatever God has coming down on the world. You have to be obedient. You have to be. And something else I was thinking about, too, how important it is that we have, you have to be in the right location. Because we're planning food right now for many people to be able to eat. We've got other projects with fish and everything else that we're doing right now, too. But what if we were in the wrong place planting our garden in the wrong location? This is why it's so important for people to hear, where do you want me to be? Am I in the right place? And what do you want me to do? Because you can be doing the wrong thing or the right thing in the wrong place, and your life won't be fruitful. So I think it's very important that everybody really gets before the Lord and really prays and seeks God's face. I suggest even going into a time of fasting and saying, Lord, I need to know what you want me to do. I need your instructions to me. And then whenever he does give you the instructions, just simply obey. Obey as a servant would obey. Obey as a dead man that doesn't have a choice. Because that's the way we're supposed to be. If we're going to follow him, he said, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That means you're a dead man walking.
So, in 1 Timothy 6, we're told, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And so, you know, like you, I would just exhort our listeners to seek God's face, to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to them what it is that is expected, what it is, where it is that they can bear much fruit. And, you know, his desire is that we would be plentiful, that we would abound, that we would have abundance, and not necessarily in the things that man esteems so highly, but in the things that are great in his kingdom. And he will be faithful to make us fruitful.
Yes, and I encourage you also to ask the Lord, is there hidden talents that are down inside of me that I don't know about? I mean, God will give the place for those talents to come out if you're willing to give them and use them for his benefit, not for your own. And this is one thing I've realized is that this is all about giving. And I think the scripture talks about your gift shall make room for you. Well, a dormant gift will not make room for you. It's giving the gift. It's letting the gift come out to be used for his purpose that will make room for all of us. So, David, thank you for joining us tonight. I know this seemed like the night just blew right by, but thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So I pray that you are encouraged. Again, you've been listening to Strength for the Journey, and our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. For the journey.